Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here. First day of winter. How about that? December 21st, 2023. Shortest day of daylight hours, I believe. But there's something weird going on with the moon, so I'm not even sure that that's true, so don't take my word for that. Usually is that way. 16 minutes past the hour, chatting with Third Ward City Councilman Jason Schauber. A lot of issues going on in the city. So glad to have you here, Jason. And we just learned that I believe Mayor Schertzer will be on next Thursday.
Yes.
So as much as we can confirm that at this point, next Thursday morning, we'll find out what's going on.
That will definitely be an interesting conversation.
I believe it will. And just for people who might be tuning in, and I know this is going to be hard for you to smash into a little ball, but what's going on in the city? Pay raise wise, auditor wise, as of the last meeting Tuesday night?
As of the last meeting Tuesday night, as far as the roll calls were taken, all elected offices will realize a salary increase going into the next term.
Yeah, but not the $110,000 increase.
Yes, the mayor will not realize a $110,000 increase. It is at a $90,000 salary.
And just to clarify again, it's of your belief, and I believe the law director's belief, that the mayor alone, because of how the vote was taken, the mayor's salary, was not done properly.
The law director gave his legal advice on how to proceed, and my personal belief that we did not follow his advice as he stated it, so I don't know where that stands. I would assume that since council can do whatever they want, that salary for the mayor's office at $90,000 will stay at $90,000.
And again, there are a few things to discuss here before we move on to the petitions that were turned in yesterday for county offices. When we look at these pay numbers, because I think it's hard for people listening and hard for people who don't attend council meetings to understand, we hear the mayor, we hear council saying cash flow problems. We do see an article that did run in the Marion Star, I believe, about the city selling off investments. Mm-hmm. We've heard about payroll issues. Don't know if we're going to make payroll. Is that going to happen?
Yes. So we divested enough money to meet the next three cycles of payroll through January 4th.
So with the new money coming in, if not vetoed, the last thing I think here that could happen would be Mayor Schertzer stopping these raises before the first.
Yes, that's an option.
If that doesn't happen, how do these salaries get paid if payroll's an issue right now?
So we have to rely on our past revenues and project that forward for the next year and have as much confidence as we can that revenues will stay the same and hopefully increase. If they stay the same, we will be fine. We just have to get our accounting of our revenues in order.
Two quick questions, and I want to move on to the county. If Glenn Coble had won the mayoral election, would this have been voted in, the pay raise for the mayor?
I would have voted pay salary increases for all elected officials because I believe that those positions need an increase, and my selling point for this, which was laughed at the beginning and now is catching some steam with some others, is the salary is so low that we're not getting a professional type candidate for these positions, and that was my intent for even bringing the salary increases forward.
Are there any other council meetings this year?
As far as I know, there's nothing scheduled unless the law director thinks that we should have a special meeting to clean up and revote for the mayor's salary. But if the law director's confident that what happened Tuesday night is fine. I don't see any meetings the rest of the year.
The other question that I wanted to ask was in regard to the auditor. I'm sure you've seen the resignation letter. I've seen it, as we said in hour number one. It's basically two lines, and I'm just paraphrasing it here. I don't have it in front of me. I'm resigning this position effective January the 5th, and I've accepted another position in city government. Come to find out, that's the director of transit. Do you believe, because that's how the resignation letter reads, do you believe, had she not been given or accepted that position, that she would have resigned?
She was going to be removed from office regardless. I don't know if she resigned early because she said she accepted another position. I don't know that for fact, but I do know for a fact that myself, other council members that are going into the next term will pursued removing her from office.
But that is a long process, is it not?
It could be a long process. It could be a short process. I've heard anywhere one attorney came to me and he said he could probably get it done in 14 days.
You know, we did talk about this earlier, and I don't want to leave this on the table, so I'm gonna ask another question about this. Because the pay for the auditor was raised to $80,000
correct
Monday night. So could she, in theory, take back the resignation?
So that's another question that I don't have a lot of confidence in, if she can pull back her resignation, because you can't resign from something you don't hold.
So she would have till the 1st.
I think. So, and again, if she does decide, because she saw an $80,000 increase in salary, she'll only realize that until we go through whatever procedure we need to remove her. So I don't know how I can stress that enough, that if she will be removed by choice or by force. And right now it's by choice.
Now, it did not get to this point, if memory serves me right, with Robert Landon, where force was going to be used. At least there were not discussions, I don't remember, that were public about that.
Right. Unfortunately, we're gaining experience on how to remove auditors. So this is just experience in this vicious cycle that we're in.
Well, you know, at least something will have been learned in this whole situation.
Right.
You know, and you said earlier something that is resonating with me, that and we don't know who the next auditor is, so this isn't a wrap on the next auditor, but you are of the opinion that because of the way things are, that this could happen again.
This very well could happen again. Like I said, whoever Collins chooses has to be a strong leader, not a bully, a strong leader, and can do the simple things such as opening mail from the IRS that says you owe a late fee and not ignoring it.
There was also a discussion at the council meeting I was at 2 weeks ago about a position being added, but a position also being taken away, and were we going to create a position created in the auditor's office?
I'm not for sure.
Okay.
There may have been talks. Are you talking about the Mayor Collins, or Collins wants to add a position of budget and management? Is that the position?
Yeah. So,
yeah, that will not be in the auditor's office, okay, from what I understand. We, council or the mayor, can't create a position and have the auditor report to someone, or someone report to the auditor.
And then the safety and service department will be merged into one person?
That's Collins' plan. I believe he's going to wait till after the first year to make sure that so he has two positions he wants to create, which is the Office of Budget and Management, and then a special projects director. And I believe once he gets those through council and passed, I believe we passed the budget and management position Tuesday night. So that he should be able to appoint somebody soon for that, I think. I can't remember now. We did so many different votes. But once he gets those two positions established, his plan is to combine the safety service director, and he's not going to fill a public works position because we already have an engineer.
So we did not gain a new position? No new salary was created, I guess is what I'm getting at here. Or was there?
There was a conversation that we may, the Collins, is his administration will net one position, but I'm not for sure. He's changing names, combining things, and the public. So if you have an Office of Budget and Management and you're not filling a Public Works Director, those even out. And then if you create a Special Projects Director and you combine Safety Service Director, I think that evens out. So is it a net one job? I don't know.
If it is, and I guess we don't know at this point, I imagine somebody listening to this after the conversation we've just had is saying, where does that money come from? Where does that salary come from?
We, as council, have to approve any additional salary, any money spent, council approves. So if there is an issue with funding those different positions, the only thing you can do is look at other line items to take away from that, because you only have so much money, and we really don't know how much money we have, because 2 months now I've been asking for a revenue projection and I've yet to see that. And that really confuses people, because how can you not know what money you have, not accounting for any of your money, but yet it appears that you're voting and giving raises and spending money? So, and I've been on a vote no for any new appropriations for over the last 2 months because of that fact. We don't know what money we have. We're not accounting for it, and we're amassing fees and penalties to over $1 million now.
Fees and penalties, new salaries, maybe new positions, we don't know. How can a budget be done? If we don't know where how much money, the treasurer's books don't match the auditor's books, how do you do a budget?
I have no idea how. So my plan, January 1 at noon, after we're sworn in, we have an organizational meeting, and the only business item that we have is the appropriations for 2024. I plan on sitting back and watching the new council members, see what they have to say, what they want to do, and then we'll build from there.
And when does the budget have to be done?
By state statute, we have to have a balanced budget, and the appropriation and expense ordinance needs to be passed before we can even pay payroll. So it needs to be done January 1.
What is the likelihood at this point of that happening?
I think the likelihood is very good that something will be passed. What that looks like, I don't know, because I don't know the new council members, and there's an overwhelming majority that are new that's coming. So I've not had a chance to speak with them, because after the meetings they leave rather quickly, or I'm talking to someone else and I can't get to them to see what they're thinking. So I will sit back and I will watch and see where their leadership will take us. I have a few ideas of what I would like to do, and I'm one of nine, as many people say.
If the auditor, who will still be in office at that point, January 1st, Miranda McGinnis, she'll have 5 days left, does not get the information you've been asking for, revenues, how do you do the budget? Do you think it's going to come in the next 10 days?
Yeah, I believe there was another email sent out requesting a revenue projection. So I'm hoping if I don't have it already, I will go up to City Hall and ask for it again.
How do we solve the financial mess? You've been there a while.
Yeah. So we need a steady individual in the auditor's office to establish trust with council and administration of what information they're putting out is accurate. And once we have that trust again, the city will be fixed. It will be on the right path.
And just to be clear on this, because of the way Miranda is resigning, Bill will choose the new auditor, and really it's all on him in regard to choosing. The council does not have to vote on that.
Correct.
He appoints them, and that's that.
That's correct, yep.
But they do have to be a resident of the city of Marion.
Yes, yes, because so when Collins appoints the auditor, there's an expectation that you're going to run for the unexpired term, and that individual will be on the 2025 general election.
This question sounds ridiculous, but isn't there somebody who lives in the Marion city limits who wants to make $80,000 who's a CPA?
I was sure as hell hope so. I was talking, I was having a conversation with someone, and we're trying to figure out how, in our immediate future, how we can get some stabilization in the auditor's office. And I would be opposed to a 3 or 4 month contract to a retired state auditor, or there's someone out there that has municipal services that's recently retired or can come in for 3 or 4 months and help us stabilize us, and then hopefully Bill can find someone within the city, and then more or less train this new person what they need to do, train them how to respond to letters that come in saying you're late, and why we had to do that. It's unfortunate, but it sounds like we do. So there's somebody out there, I'm sure, that would like an $80,000 job that has this qualification.
$80,000, a lot of money.
It is.
In Marion. A lot of money anywhere, really.
Yeah.
For a salary. And, you know, and I understand this is a DNR thing, I guess. Maybe I'm speaking out of turn there. But, I mean, we have had financial people in city government. We had an auditor before Robert Landon. Mm-hmm. I understand that was a Democrat, mm-hmm. but I don't think things were as rocky in those days.
Oh, yeah, but when Kelly first was elected auditor, it was, I mean, Mr. Ratliff did not pick on Robert because he was a Republican auditor, and he kicked out his Democratic auditor. Ayers was after Kelly for the first 2 or 3 years, and we had agonizing meetings of him pointing out mistakes and stuff. So there's consistency there, at least with Mr. Ratliff going after auditors. So
yeah,
but Kelly surrounded herself with good people, and at the end of Kelly's tenure, she was a good auditor, and I believe she actually won actual awards for the financials for the city.
Well, maybe it's just fresh in my... I saw Tom Panett the other day, who was the treasurer in the city. Mm-hmm. You know, people who I think must know something about money more mm-hmm. than what we've seen. I understand maybe there's the wrong letter next to their name when it comes to these situations.
Are you saying that Mr. Panett wants to? I have to call him Mr. Panett because he's my principal, and he scares me to death.
I probably doesn't want the job, but the pay just went up, so who knows?
Yeah, I mean, but if I'm open to anybody. Of course, I don't have a say in who becomes the auditor, but
I guess the point I'm making is there are people who have an understanding of government, who have served in it. There are people who certainly, I would think, understand money, because they were there in these positions, and this would just be an interim position if they don't want to run again with the city in horrible straits and not a bad salary.
Yeah.
So why can't we do something there?
I'm trying to figure out what Collins is going to do. I don't think he's going to base anything as far as his appointment for auditor based on party. I'm pretty sure that's not even in his mind. He's looking for someone qualified in the city that can run the office and then be on the ballot.
And would you think that's an admirable thing, considering the straits we're in?
Absolutely. If he comes in and he appoints, and someone's political leanings or they're a flaming liberal, I really don't care about their politics. If you tell me we got $10 in the bank account and you can do a reconciliation or whatever process you need to do, and there's actually $10 there, okay, I care less what your politics are.
How you feel on abortion and the legalization of marijuana and all that, does this really matter in the auditor's office?
No, it shouldn't. There's no place for it.
Now, another question, and I believe Ayers brought this up, and if I'm getting that wrong, forgive me, but I know somebody brought it up. I'm pretty sure it was Ayers. That he feared that with a bunch of new council members coming in, and I do believe the number is five with the president being a new person.
Yes.
Yeah. As of the first of the year, that the last time something like that happened, a new flush of people, all Republican, leaving one Democrat left on council, which I don't think has ever happened before, that the clerk might be taken out just because... we don't really know why, but just because, I guess.
Yeah, so when I was on council for I don't know how many years, and then I left for two terms, and I came back. And when we came back, it was the first time in 20-plus years that a Republican had a majority. And unfortunately, that was the first thing we did. We got rid of the clerk, and that was 100% a political move. I myself justified doing that because I view the clerk's job as a part-time job. And I didn't think it would be fair to keep, at the time it was Irene Fulton, and I didn't think it would be fair for us to keep her as a full-time person and then the new council come in with the mindset that this is a part-time job and then cut her hours in half. That wouldn't have been fair to her. So a new person... coming in with the understanding of being part-time, I thought was the right way to go. But again, it was 100% political. I do not think that Trina is in any jeopardy of not being the clerk again. But then again, I don't go to the Republican club meetings, and I'm not in that club anymore. So I don't know what they're scheming.
When you say that was political, what do you mean?
Oh, because Irene was a Democrat.
So they knew she's a registered Democrat.
Yes.
She's got to go.
Yes.
Even though the job of clerk is...
is just the clerk.
Yeah.
you take notes in the meeting, you do a roll call.
Yeah. So, but because there was a D next to her name, she had to go.
Correct.
And then, if I remember right, there was somebody in there before Trina... some kind of issue went on.
Yeah,
there.
I don't. I hate reliving those 45 days.
Yeah, that was a messy time.
That was the most agonizing, miserable. I don't know what other adjectives you want to use. I refuse to go through those types of meetings again. And to be honest, our last two meetings we have a council this term, I'm getting the feeling that that's where we're headed again. Not towards removing the clerk, but that feeling of just being agonizingly miserable meetings of just bitching and bickering and not getting anything done. Just I hope that I'm wrong, but I'm getting that feeling.
So you feel at this point that Ayers's concern, which is what I think it was, of losing the clerk. Probably not a concern.
No. Maybe whenever I don't know when he said that.
I think day after the election.
Okay. Yeah, always the day after the election, that's when people immediately start jockeying for, because on January 1, we have the clerk we have to vote for and a president pro tem of council. And right after the election, that's when people start jockeying to because those are political positions and so then maybe it was a concern. Now I don't have any concern whatsoever that Trina will be the clerk again.
We don't know a whole lot about these five people who are coming in, all Republican, right, on council. Mm-hmm. Ayers, the lone Democrat left,
right,
here.
Right.
But I think a lot of people, even though you have an R next to your name, feel that you certainly are not voting party lines.
So I don't understand what that means, voting party lines. I vote... I guess my party's the city of Marion, and I'm the third ward representative. I have to represent what I think the third ward wants and what they're telling me they want. So I don't know how anything is along party lines. I don't understand that whatsoever. Tell me what issue that the Republican majority on council brought up that I voted against.
Well, I think somebody might point out the pay raises.
Okay.
Although that you brought that up in the beginning.
I brought the pay raises up.
But then dropping it to 80, and then they brought it back up, and then I guess the final vote, you did not vote for it.
Correct.
Right. And maybe that's what they say. I don't know.
So, as a Republican, being a Republican or Democrat, there's principles that are in each party. I align with those principles of the Republican Party. Just because someone is a Republican council member and they say something that I think is nonsense doesn't make whatever they say a Republican principle.
If I remember right, I think this first started to be laid on your doorstep during the Robert Landon situation.
Right.
That you were critical of him.
Right.
And you shouldn't have been, because he's a Republican, you're a Republican.
So, and I would push back and say, how is a $153,000 penalty a Republican principle?
And the Republicans who did not vote on things that were negative to Robert Landon.
Right. So a Republican principle is not protecting a person that has the R beside their name. It's to me, right is right, wrong is wrong.
I think that's what party lines, our definition right now would be. Voting to protect the person in our party.
I have nothing to do with that. I will not have anything to do with it. If you're an idiot, you're an idiot. I don't want anything to do with you.
But I think you've even said on this show that it's left you not so popular in the Republican Party.
In the local club party, because it has, but that party, those individuals that goes to those club meetings, not all of them, but the ones that don't like me or... That doesn't bother me whatsoever. I live by principles, and my principles are aligned with the Republican Party, and that's who I am. I'm not going to change just because some asshat. Sorry, I'm really working on my
cursing. No, it's okay. You haven't said anything yet.
Just because someone says something and they have a R beside their name doesn't make what they say the gospel.
And again, just because we're in a news vacuum now, the petitions yesterday had to be filed for the primary elections in 2024. I believe they're going to be certified after the first of the year. But what we do know is, because there were a lot of questions regarding this, Andy Apfelfeller will be running again for county commissioner. Kerr Murray will be running again for Marion County Commissioner. Matt Bales will be running again for sheriff. I don't believe there was an opposition on the paperwork that I saw for Matt Bales. Ray Grogan, again, for prosecutor. I don't think there was an opposition there. And we'll get to the judges on a different day because I believe there's some things going on there. But commissioner-wise, your name's there.
Yes, that is correct. I'm going to run for commissioner again. And I was told that Mr. Apfelfeller and Kerr Murray were both thinking of not running again. Those gentlemen had Andy, he's been there at least 20 years, and Kerr's ran several times, but I think he may be in his second term. And I heard that neither one of those gentlemen was going to run again. So I thought, well, this is my opportunity again to run for an open seat, I thought. But turns out Mr. Apfelfeller and Kerr both have turned in a petition. So now we have a primary.
Now, you will be primarying which one?
So I passed a petition around for the seat that is sworn in January 1. And I think that's Kerr's. I'm not 100% sure. I know it's January 1.
Now, that being said, now that they're both running again, what do you feel your chances are that there are incumbents now in these races?
It's always difficult going against an incumbent. And it's real difficult for me, especially with my limited vocabulary, to dance around. These two gentlemen are older, and that's just how life goes. So I feel that if people see a more energetic, more enthusiastic candidate, my chances should be better.
What is wrong with the county? What needs to be fixed or changed?
So my platform, I'm still developing my platform, and it will not be what's wrong with the county. It'll be what is right with the county and what could be better for the county.
At this point, is age a big issue for these men, in your opinion?
Not just these men. You look at Biden and Trump. Those two individuals, I believe Biden is 81 or 82. Trump will be 80 by the time this comes around. And we have to look at that. I mean, they've led a life. Let someone else come in and move the county forward.
Why is this? Why is it with all parties that we're not seeing an influx of young people?
I don't know. I can't answer that because I'm not involved with the local Republican Party, so I don't know why people aren't getting involved.
Since you had made this announcement that you were doing this, have you heard anything back from anybody?
So when I put on Facebook my commissioner candidates page for commissioner, I put out that I was circulating petitions, and I didn't get to everybody that wanted to sign my petition. So that response I thought was very welcoming, and I went to Schertzer's going away party or whatever it was last Thursday, and several individuals there were offering support, and when I get my paperwork filled out, they're offering money. So that's a really good indication to me.
You ran for county commissioner in the primary against Dr. Davis for right. The seat that at that time was held by Ken Stiverson.
Correct.
What have you learned since then about how to run in the county and how to win?
So that was a difficult race because Kenny's a strong incumbent. I mean, Kenny's a very well-known individual, and he's a very good man, very good commissioner. And Dr. Davis is a doctor. He had 8,000 patients, 10,000 patients, whatever it was. So if you just get his patients out the boat, that's tough to overcome. And school teachers and doctors are the best candidates because everyone knows them, even insurance agents. Everyone knows them. Everyone has one. So they just naturally have that pool of people that know their name.
Is there anything that you would be able to do or say that you think would give you a leg up on Kerr Murray, if that is the correct opponent here?
Yes, there will be differences. There will be obvious differences, and it's my job to figure out the correct way to present those very obvious differences without being demeaning or being personal towards Mr. Kerr Murray. I love Kerr Murray. I think he's a great guy, but and that makes it difficult running against him.
I've asked this of Democrats, so I'm going to ask this of a Republican. What happened to the Democratic Party in Marion?
I have no idea. I think it's just the way the especially county's going is more leaning towards Republican. It is lack of enthusiasm. People are tired. I have no idea. Really, I don't know what's happened to him.
It seems like at this point we're not even seeing candidates.
Right. Yeah. And on the Republican side, we're seeing candidates, but how did our candidate for auditor work out? Are they quality candidates? Are they quality candidates, or are they people that circulated the petition.
And I believe somebody said this at the meeting 2 weeks ago, that this is the party that gave us the last two auditors.
Yeah, that was me.
Well, that was you. There you go.
That was me. I was listening. You guys were trying to figure out who it was.
Yeah, I was trying to remember who that was.
It was me.
Now, what brought that up in the meeting, in the context that
came
out?
Because it's true.
It is true, but normally that wouldn't happen.
So, Mr. Ratliff, what triggered me was Mr. Ratliff was saying, he was asking for Miranda. He did not want to accept Miranda's resignation for January. He wanted her resignation to be that night, that day. And that's when I said, why would we ask for it now and demand it now? Because what would happen is the Republican Party would have to appoint them, and they just gave us two people, and we see what we got.
And again, not a party thing.
No, it's
qualification thing here.
It's qualification, yeah. So, and again, Miranda was put in a tough situation that she was not prepared for at all. They did a disservice to her. And with a limited amount of time, who would the Republican Party find? And I forget what day she turned, 20 days left to appoint somebody. And then that person would only fill those 20 days. I don't think they would go on to the next term. So then she would have to resign again because she was elected as an independent for the next term.
For people living in the city, if you win the position of county commissioner, there goes another experienced councilman.
Yes, and that's what I have to fight. That's what I fought the last time when I ran with Kenny and Mark was, well, we like you better on council. Okay, thanks. So I have to figure out what that message is and how I can get that out. So, and then if I do win, the party will appoint my replacement.
You don't make the big money as a councilman.
No.
So a lot of people would say, with the mess the city's in now, maybe at one point it was a nice position to have. You went and city government worked well and mm-hmm. all was good and we went home and the bills were paid and it doesn't seem to be that way today. A lot of different stuff going on. Why do it?
So I think most people have a feeling that they should serve their community in some fashion, and this is how I choose to serve Marion. It's not for $9,000 a year at all, and when I first started, it was $55,000. So it's not for money at all. And I don't even know what the commissioners make, so it's not for money there. It's my service back to the community because I've done well in Marion, and that's my way of thanking them, I guess.
So how do we get out of this? Find an auditor?
We have to find a strong leader in that office, and the new council members have to put Marion first, which I think they will, and not worry about what a party will say and do what's best for their wards and their and the city of Marion. And that's the only way I think we can move forward.
Years ago, I believe it was Police Chief Jay McDonald said on this program, when it came to the drug problem in Marion, that Marion doesn't have a huge drug problem as big as it's portrayed. We have a publicity problem when it comes to, we're down on ourselves. We just don't see the best in ourselves. How do we look right now?
How does the city of Marion look?
How does the city, with all this going on and all this being talked about by a lot of people, because interestingly enough, in this news vacuum we're in,
well, that's what I was
people
gonna say.
Are talking.
They're talking, but I think luckily for the city, there isn't much news being put out widespread. People really don't have a clue. So we probably could be looking like fools had there be a bigger news presence.
Do you think at some point that's going to happen? That somebody is going to look at this and say, "Whoa, something's going on there in Marion," and then it's going to become one of those Columbus stories?
I think that by the time that any news would get out on a wider spread, that we will have a new competent auditor, and we will be moving forward before, and that would be just a report of the past.
And I do want to let people know again, I think I just got the thumbs up that Mayor Schertzer will be here on the 28th. I think that's the date I said, but if I didn't, the 28th, Mayor Schertzer will be here, and we'll discuss what happened at this last city council meeting, and if and what he will do before he leaves office on January the 1st. Looking back on Mayor Schertzer, how do you see him?
So my first go around with council, again, I was at one of three Republicans and one of two at the end. That go around, I really didn't have much of a relationship because, like I said, Mike Thomas came to me and said, "I can count to five. I don't need you, but if I do, I'll come to you." And so I really didn't have much of a relationship with him. But second go around, this current 8 years, 6 years that I've been back, I've had a good working relationship with him. I don't think we agreed on everything, but if we did disagree, it never went personal. And I think he was actually a pleasure to work with, and I will miss certain aspects of his leadership going forward, because with Collins, I don't know Collins well, but I think it's a different style of leadership.
With 3 minutes left to go, just to be fair to the Democrats, because I asked it of them, what's with the Republican Party in Marion? You've said a few things during this interview and in the past. You don't go to the club meetings. You're not in that group. What is going on there in which, as you said, they gave us the last two auditors?
Yeah. I don't know what's going on there, but when I was participating with the local party, not Republicans, but the local Republican Party, there was kind of, if there was an open seat, get somebody to run. And that was, and I think we're seeing the results there, that mentality still there. Get whoever to run, and if we get them elected, yay for us. Republicans got control, but you're doing a disservice to some of these individuals because they're not prepared to do the job that they're being asked to do.
It wasn't always that way, and a lot of Democrats have blamed the leadership of the Democratic Party locally. Is there a problem with Republican leadership?
I don't even know who the leadership is with the local Republican Party. I have no clue.
When you were there, did you like the leadership?
So when I was active, it was John Matthews. And then when I left, it was Robert Schultz. I didn't have any problem with John Matthews. He had a certain style, tactic that he went that was abrasive towards some people. That didn't bother me. Like I said, I don't intimidate easy. But then the party was Republican principles. It wasn't whoever thought they was in charge, whatever they thought, they was kingmakers or whatever. That wasn't the case with then. Now, I don't know who's running it, so I can't say if I have a problem with them or not, because I don't know who it is.
On a happy note, with a minute left to go, minute and a half, with the holidays upon us, for people who are concerned in the city, who might be listening to this, you'll be there.
I will be there January 1st.
Let's give some reassurance to people in the city that things aren't as bad as they sound.
Right. We've spoke a lot of doom and gloom, but it's not necessarily doom and gloom, because the last 2-3 months, I've been working to get, so we have local government services from the state auditor's office. They are in here actively working to get the auditor's office trained and on the right path. So we are on the right track of fixing it. all we need now is a strong leader in that office to continue what the groundwork, to continue the groundwork that's already being laid.
Third Ward City Councilman Jason Schauber running for county commissioner as well. Can't thank you enough for staying for the 2 hours this morning. A lot to talk about. And Mayor Schertzer, next Thursday, the 28th, we'll see how that all transpires. Who knows what will happen between now and then. And tomorrow morning, our Christmas program, and I believe Sam Donaldson will kick off the morning tomorrow morning with some national news. So that's how that all goes. Happy holidays.
Merry Christmas to you.
Absolutely. Scott Spears for this day, heading for the dugout.
Bring your good gear. We don't travel down for you. Oh, my. I've heard some bad things, but, boy, I tell you, that